Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has there entered into the minds of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. For He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? He has done exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ever ask or think, for we have the mind of Christ. And you may open the mind of Christ this morning to Ephesians. In preparation for our study, we'll pause for a few moments of silent prayer. This will afford you the opportunity to utilize the time for confession alone to God alone, clearing the decks for any unconfessed sin. The result is the filling of the Holy Spirit, and He will teach you all things. I noticed that we have a very large crowd this morning, and so as things would go, fortunately, I have an extremely boring Bible class this morning. So for those of you who can't stand boring Bible classes, you're here on a perfect day, and you can run and run like the wind. But we have a number of things to discuss today, and it has to do with our continuing examination of the angelic conflict and those things that go on in the unseen world about us. In order to prepare for these things, shall we pray? Father, we are extremely grateful to You for the power of the Word, the opportunity to appropriate its wisdom into our souls. It gives us not only perspicacity, but the type of intelligence that supersedes that of the mankind You have provided for us. We have human knowledge, human wisdom, but You give us Yours, and it is free. And with it, we're able to analyze the things about us. And we're able to lift ourselves above the mundane. And therefore see through the propaganda of the day. It is our prayer that what we note today will contribute to our inventory of ideas. So that we might be better soldiers for Christ. Fight the good fight. And therefore lead us toward the ultimate objective of serving You. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We're moving our way through several passages in the book of Ephesians where Paul reveals to us the unseen war. Paul reveals to us that there are unseen beings called angels, and they fall into two classifications. There are the elect angels and there are the fallen angels. The elect angels are those that supported our Lord in eternity past and stood fast against the rebellion of Lucifer and his fallen angels. And since there was a verdict rendered that the fallen angels would be sentenced to the lake of fire, but since that sentence has not been carried out and according to Scripture will not be until the end of human history, then a question arises. Why is it that a sentence was given before human history but not carried out until afterward? And the answer is that Lucifer appealed the verdict and therefore asked for an appeal trial. And that appeal trial has been given. The appeal trial is being played out, and the human race is involved in testimony before the Supreme Court of Heaven, either for or against the elect angels, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father. What you do as believers in Jesus Christ is a testimony in this trial. And therefore, for you to learn the plan of God and your place in it and those things that are required for you to be a good witness for the prosecution, then it is imperative that you grow in grace and acquire within your souls the knowledge that is found in the Word of God that brings all of the varied subjects, aspects, circumstances, and what have you together into one thing, which is called the Word of God. The Bible is multifaceted, but it is one thing. It creates a tapestry in your soul. You find out that all subjects are interrelated. And ultimately it presents the subject, which is Jesus Christ, the God of the armies, our Lord and Savior. He is the one to whom we submit our souls and our lives. He is the winner. He is the victor. And if you want to be on the winning side, then you associate yourself with Him and His Word. There is, however, those elements currently active in our lives that seeks to dissuade us from the advance. And we've been noting that in Ephesians, where Paul takes up the subject of the fallen angels known as demons, and he gives a table of organization for the demonic armies. I want to go over the corrected translation of three of these passages that we've already noted. The first is found in Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 21. It reads, "Jesus Christ is over and above all demon general officers, commissioned officers, special forces, fifth columns, and the rank and file, not only during the church age, but also in the tribulation yet to come. And God put all things in subordination under Jesus Christ's feet. And God gave Christ as head over all the universal church." The second passage is Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. "You were dead in your trespasses and your sins, in which your former behavior patterns were according to the present circumstance of this world, according to the highest ruler of the authority of the global atmosphere, the disposition which now is operational in the children of disobedience and obstinacy." The third passage is Ephesians 3, verses 8 through 10. "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace blessing has been given to preach to the Gentiles the inexhaustible riches of Christ, in order to bring to light what is the dispensation of the mystery, which during all previous dispensations has been kept secret in God who created all things, in order that now to the general officers and to the commissioned officers of the demonic armies in heavenly places, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church." We're now in the fourth passage, which finds itself in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. Here's what we've done so far. Ephesians 6:10, "From now on, be strong in the Lord through the power of truth in the soul and of His power to execute. Habitually, keep yourself dressed for battle as an infantry soldier of God, so that you will have the power to seize and hold your ground against the strategy and the tactics of the devil." Strategy and tactics in the King James Version is the word wiles. And it reminds me of Wile E. Coyote. Wile E. Coyote always seems to have it figured out on how to get that bird, but he always fails. And that's poor old Lucifer. He's got some slick ideas, and he pulls them off on occasion, but he can't win the big game. The wiles of the devil. The New American Standard and the New International Version translate this word schemes. Here's what it looks like in the Greek. Methodia. That's M-E-T-H-O-D-E-I-A, methodia. And methodia means to follow or pursue an orderly or technical procedure. It means to proceed forward through strategy and tactics in order to fulfill an operation. He is genius mentality. He is the most brilliant creature God ever created. You run across people in your life that think they're smart. In fact, some of you here this morning may think you're smart. You're not smart as this guy. He can outfox you in a heartbeat. He is absolutely brilliant, and above that, he is one major league stud muffin. If he were to walk into this church today, I could not keep the attention of the ladies. They would drool, they would fawn, they would follow him out the door, they'd do anything he said. Oh, Lucifer. That's the kind of guy he is. And therefore, if he can capture attention in that fashion, he can propagandize you with his slick tongue. And thus he does this on a daily basis for those that do not have armor in their souls. So strategy and tactics is a good way to translate methodia in verse 11. Now, we've done a little work on Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, and that's just the New American Standard. We've done a little work on this, and I want to do a quick overview of what we finished up on Thursday evening. It starts off with the causal conjunction, hati, which means not for, but because. And the following phrase, our struggle is not. You have a struggle, you're in combat, you're in the front line of a battle, and if you do not have artillery in your soul, you will be overwhelmed by the cosmic thought of the opposition. Do you know how to analyze what you're hearing in your daily life? Do you have the ability to deconstruct those things that are being said and proposed to you? Young ladies need to understand propaganda because the guys are experts at it. They'll come to your door and your dad's locking and loading in the back room. But you're standing there believing everything he says when he says, "Oh, darling." And after that, you're done for. And your father has the perspicacity, the skill, the knowledge, and the experience to know what's going on. And he's ready to kill the guy. And I, on occasion, have actually cocked the gun. Point is that as you grow older, the propaganda gets far more sophisticated. And you have to be able to think on a higher level. You must be able to think in a sophisticated way. And the sophistication is found in a foundation of absolute truth in the soul. And there's only one source for absolute truth, and that is the Word of God. Nothing can be analyzed unless it has a foundational approach from biblical truth. And if you can't get things in your soul that give you that ability to analyze incoming data, then you're going to be victimized in the hostile environment of the devil's world. It is imperative that Lucifer neutralize the church. This is the church of the living God. This is the classroom for Christianity. This is a haven of refuge from cosmos diabolicus. This is where you come to find a place where you can freely use your volition to accept or reject the power of the Word of God. And then you can take that artillery out into the devil's world and you can guard your soul and you can protect those you love. And without this, you will lose. Yet our nation has turned against God, and people who stand in the pulpits, they're just messengers of the dark side. We have recently done a study of a research paper that reveals that only one-third of those who call themselves Christians in this country believe that Jesus Christ was sinless. The rest are lost in their sins, for Christ needs a Savior had he sinned. I am appalled that our client nation, which has freedom of religion, free exercise clause in the First Amendment, they use it, but it goes for naught because truth is not taught in the churches. It is a horror that we are flaunting our freedom in such a way. Our struggle is not against what we call blood and flesh. You run against people every day. You go to work, there they are. Don't like your boss. Don't like your fellow workmates. Don't like your teachers. Don't like the schoolmates. Don't like those in the various organizations you're in. What's wrong with you? Because they seem to be assaulting you in some way. And you believe you're justified being opposition. That could be very true. I'm telling you, the opposition is rampant today. And they have all the avenues of communication. They've seized the message the message boards of our nation, be it electronic or print, be it entertainment or music. The propaganda comes from every possible source, and parents hope to rear their children in certain ways that their souls will be protected from the lie. But everywhere the children go and everyone with whom they associate, those people are associated with the lie and they communicate it. How do you guard the souls of your children? You cannot lock them in a vault. The best way to do it is to arm their souls with the truth so they can discern the lie when they hear it. And that means you got to come to the church of the living God. Blood and flesh is the phrase here. The blood and flesh unite to form a unit, and it refers to the physical nature of man, that which is alive, the blood, that which is visible, the flesh. That's not your enemy. Our combat in the invisible war is not really with people. Sure, they're the physical representatives of Lucifer, but they convey his propaganda throughout the devil's world. But cosmic viewpoint has to have an origin. It doesn't just pop up out of thin air. Just as divine viewpoint has its origin in Scripture, in like fashion, cosmic viewpoint obtains its viewpoint from the dark side. Now, the entire issue in this combat is thought. And that which originates the thought is the hierarchy of authority that commands each side in this dispute. Both sides have data to release to you. You can go on the internet, and there are many sites you can go to that will give you data from the dark side. There are others that will give you data from the light. You get to choose. Here's the thing. When you log on to a site, do you know which it is? Is it dark or light? Do you know? If you had doctrine in your soul, you'd know. The entire issue in this combat is thought. The hierarchy for the light is the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They communicate to us through the Bible. It is the only source of divine viewpoint, and it is the only source for absolute truth. There is truth in this world, but it cannot be discerned and identified unless you have a biblical worldview. Without a biblical worldview, you will accept attitudes of the darkness that appear to be light. And we've noted that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Messengers of the light are emissaries for the dark side. 95% truth wrapped around 5% lie makes it 100% lie. The Bible describes each member's involvement in its construction of the Scripture. The Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. It is the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. And it is the voice of the Holy Spirit, according to Hebrews 3, verse 7. The hierarchy for the dark side is commanded by Lucifer in the office, the core of his demonic army, which we've noted in the passages I just read to you, and we still have one yet to go. They, in their rank and file, are the invisible warriors that we engage in the invisible war. Invisible warriors in an invisible war. How can you identify these combatants you face if they're invisible? And the only way is to have the power of thought to discern their messengers. It is blood and flesh that sends the message, but they're not the origin of the idea. One's ability to discern historical trends, to evaluate the thinking of progressives, and to analyze current events comes from a clear understanding of what influences them. What influences these people today who are dead set on their ideas of how to better the world? We have a cadre of absolute mad people, deranged and confused, yet confident of their intelligence and their ideas, that are now running not only the national government, but most of the local ones as well. Parents, pray to God in heaven that if they have a child that is growing up to be an adult, they pray that he will not be a politician. They're less embarrassed by a child that is a child molester. The crimes that are presently being committed in Washington, D.C. will go down in history as the greatest robbery of the people since Croesus. Yet we have the freedom for me to stand here and hurl castigations at them. How long will that last? Our prayer and our bulletin will come out eventually. I think Cindy Rawlins is on vacation. But our bulletin is going to have the new administration there. We've had administrations in our prayer bulletin from the federal government down to the local level for years. No administration has required more prayer than this one. Power of God can control things through the cycles of discipline. Our job is to grow in grace and to pray for the King. And that is a biblical mandate. We must pray for the King and those that are in His retinue. For that is the only power that can overwhelm the horrible ideas that are afloat today. The people who are involved are minions. They're tools and emissaries of the dark side. And they are unwitting in their participation because they have been so propagandized by the lie that they believe its ideas, they believe the conclusions they draw, they believe the standards that are promoted and are derived from their own brilliance. They believe that they come up with this and that they're smarter than the rest of us. Here's some verses about that. You're so arrogant that you're convinced your own brilliance supersedes that of all others. Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord, and the word fear there is not to shudder in horror. It means reverential submission to His will. You respect the person in charge when the person in charge is righteous and just. The thing that enables young boys to submit to a coach or a manager is because he goes by the rules and insists they do, and if they do, they have a better chance of winning than otherwise. That honor demands that you win inside the parameters of the rules of the game. And in order to perform on the field, which becomes a field of battle, you must maximize your talents within the context of that game's rules. And in order to do that, you have to go through the gut-wrenching ordeal of practice, muscle memory, getting to the point to where you can perform the task without thinking about it. There must be humility. All make mistakes. They make errors. They drop passes. Whatever the circumstance, there are errors to be made, and this is a team sport. You will be the next person to drop the ball. You never blame a teammate who makes an error. You pat him on the butt, and you tell him, shake it off, we'll get him. And therefore, you have reverence for the person who keeps you in tow and keeps you right down central on how to do the game. And so when it comes to life, there is an authority that supersedes all others, and He is righteous and He is fair, and He desires for you to follow Him, utilizing the mandates and the principles and the concepts that He's revealed to you in His Word that will best prosper you. And if you do that, He will bless you, and if not, He will goad you back out of grace. That's fear. Fear is respect. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Just submit to Him and His Word, and you will grow in grace, and it will change your life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 10:8. The wise person accepts instruction, but the babbling fool will come to ruin. Proverbs 12:15. The way of the fool is right in his own opinion, but the one who listens to advice is wise. Proverbs 14:16. A wise person is cautious and turns from evil, but a fool throws off restraint and is overconfident and arrogant. The new sheriff is a classic example of an automaton graduate of the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics. Highly intelligent from human standards, his orientation to the lie has been so complete that his arrogance is at its ascendancy. There's nothing more horrible or fear-inspiring than someone with absolute power who is arrogant and convinced of his own intelligence and brilliance. That's Lucifer. Where does this idea come from? Right out of the heart of hell. And we have bought hell, and now it's hell to pay. Well, he's not the Lone Ranger. He is surrounded by a cadre of profligate scoundrels, grifters, and popinjays that are draining the national treasury down to its very last dime. Your dime. This is where you come into the picture. Are you upset about the fact your dime's gone? They got my dime. You came into this life naked, stupid, incompetent, flailing, whining, with nothing. Somehow you made it here. You're alive and breathing. How'd that happen? Grace of God. You know what grace of God is? For majority of babies, it's on the downswing, I admit that. But the grace of God for babies is to have parents. Parents usually love their children. Not necessarily true anymore in this country. We've gone mad. People have learned that it takes no intelligence whatsoever. It doesn't even take any practice. It doesn't take any technique out of the ordinary. You are able to procreate. It is a mindless adventure. You can get involved in this without a whole lot of trouble. There's no tax on it. It's just something you can do. But before you know it, you've spawned your genes into society. And there comes a rugrat. What are you going to do with that? We'll call him Fred. And little Fred grows up, and little Fred is a bore to the newly christened parents. They don't like each other, haven't since the second week they were married. They break up and they make up. And when they make up, the way they make up is that they engage once again in fleshly desires. Before you know it, they've spawned yet again. Before you know it, the house is filled with these people, these little people. And they have these parents who are at war with each other. Before you know it, they're looking for Lou Basto to try to get a divorce. And then they get a divorce. And then they remarry some other fool that didn't quite have the perspicacity to figure out they were marrying hell. And then they breed. And then they have a family reunion. And they really found out what true hatred is all about. Somebody's going to die. That's where we are in Client Nation America. The assault on the divine institutions is tearing us down. There's assault on free will through propaganda. There's assault on marriage. We're trying to even redefine it. Verbicide has hit the word marriage. It has been redefined. And when you redefine a term, you diminish its meaning. You diminish its impact. You diminish what it speaks and stands for. Now, what people do is their business. They say, well, what I do doesn't hurt anybody. That's what you think. I'm telling you, the Word of God is crystal on this. And when you assault the divine institutions, you're asking for trouble. It will not happen overnight. God is gracious and He is patient. And over time, He expects there to be a restoration of thought. And when there's not, then justice will come down like a mighty stream. Corrective measures will be put in place. And ultimately, people are going to be forced to reconsider their idea of what is the right thing to do. And we've got chaos in the client nation. From stem to stern. Starboard to port. Chaos in leadership at all areas. From the Capitol in Washington down to the pulpit in the varied communities of this country. And where does Jeremiah say the problem originally started? Jeremiah will testify the problem originates in the pulpit. And we have recently shown that that is true. If the people who sit receive garbage spewed from the pulpit, they accept that as truth and they play on it. Or if nothing is taught whatsoever, then where do the people go for truth? Where do they go for knowledge? They cook it up in their own souls, and their own souls are susceptible to the propaganda of the dark side. And they ultimately achieve positions of power. Well, this drift of hogs are graduates summa cum laude from the tenured faculty of the Satanic Academy. I remind you of several we've studied over the last several years. Antonio Gramsci, who spawned the long march through the institutions. George Lukacs, Max Horkheimer, and William Benjamin of the Frankfurt School. Theodore Adorno and Herbert Marcuse of the Columbia School of Education. A.S. Neal of the Summerhill School in Britain. John Dewey, the father of progressive education. John Maynard Keynes, who developed the economic theory of government intervention into the free market. And we're seeing Keynesian economics practiced presently. Three key elements of Keynesian approach to economic recession: lowering interest rates, raising taxes, and financing infrastructure. And last but not least, Saul Alinsky. He is a tenured professor in the Cosmic Academy, now dead. And I suspect, although I do not know, that he is trying to find air conditioned switch somewhere close by. He is the ultra-radical who wrote Rules for Radicals. I told you about this book. It's available for $10 on Amazon. And about 3 years ago when we took up Rules for Radicals, and I taught you how they take these tactics that Alinsky cooked up. You take these tactics and you plug it into what people do today, and you find out that they're using Alinsky tactics to run the country. This bubble-up idea, you don't want to trickle down from the top, you want to bubble up from the bottom. Nothing bubbles up from the bottom in a free enterprise society. No one gets anything unless somebody's making some money. And guess what? We have just invented right out of thin air $2 trillion that we then are going to throw to the wind. $2 trillion. I showed it to the congregation on Thursday. I tried to get it all on the board, and I just made it. There are 12 zeros. I think, personally, if somebody looked at me and said, "Hey, Joe, I just went down here to the boat, and I won just a bunch of money. I won $15 million, and I'm going to give $1 million to you." And I'd say, "Well, that's mighty nice of you." That'll leave you with 14, I believe. They say, "Yes, it will. I won't hardly even miss that $1 million. I said, "Well, thank you a lot. I'll take it." And would you do that? Would you say, "Wow, $1 million. And then you look at this. The million is right here. And we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more places to go. Does million sound like a lot of money to you? It does to me. Maybe it's just me. I hear about millions of dollars. I've never seen it. But I know they're there. But I'm wondering about this part. And there are two of them. And this is the national debt. And this is our current national budget. And we just added this to all of that. And now, I ain't got $1 million. You don't either, I don't think. If you do, somebody's fixing to get it. But you're going to have to pay for this. Rules for radicals. It don't bubble up, buddies. Somebody's got to make the change. Somebody's got to go to work. Somebody's got to start a business. Somebody's got to hire people, buy equipment, send out salesmen, sell the product, make sure it is quality product so they'll want more, get it to them, distribute it widely. Takes a lot of gumption, get up, go, courage for a person to start a business and make it successful. And then somebody looks at him after he's sweated for 20 years to make a business functional. He decides to buy a boat so he and his wife can putter around the Gulf for a while and just get away from it all. And somebody says, you can't have a boat. And they tax the boat out of existence. And therefore, the boat salesman no longer has a job. And the people who make boats no longer have a job. And the people who dock boats no longer have a job. Rules for radicals. All these enemies of the state are blood and flesh. They would not be threats to our individual freedoms if they had not been propagandized and then brainwashed by the curricula communicated by the demonically inspired faculty of the Cosmic Academy. Demonic thought has infused itself into the souls of the people of this country. And we're being run by people who are sponsored by the dark side. This is the place where you have to come to get out of the darkness and into the light. And there's not enough people doing this. I'm not shaming you. I'm telling you that you are a minority in this country. 1/3 of the people in this country are the only ones who call themselves Christians who can think their way out of a phone booth. And there are not even any phone booths anymore. They've done away with those. The same duplicity in the seat that captured the souls of these men confronts your souls on a daily basis. And can you identify? Can you defend your soul? Are you smart enough to do it? Or do you like the lie? That would be the audacity of it all, as if you like the lie. The value of propaganda is a constant in warfare, though. Can't have a war without propaganda. For example, Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi Party propaganda director in 1928. I want to study propaganda? Study Goebbels. You got a whole population of Germans, and you got a nutball about to be Führer, and you got to convince the people they're going to like him. Well, it's one thing to convince the people, but it's another thing to convince the churches. And on the churches, look at this rostrum here. Stars and bars over here. Over here, we got the Missouri flag. Salute both. State rights here. Constitution, Bill of Rights here. On the rostrums in Germany, eventually, there was a German flag on one side of the rostrum and a Nazi flag on the other, in the churches. Is that coming here? Go to Amazon. You can afford this. Go to Amazon and search James Clavell. It'll pop up with a whole lot of things he's written. Go there and find that this book's title, The Children's Story, paperback, $7. Buy it. Read it. And then ask yourself, are we there yet? We're not. But we are definitely headed that way with a head of steam. From 1933 to 1945, Goebbels was the master of modern propaganda techniques in retaining support of the German people. Now, the techniques used by Goebbels was designed to maintain German nationalism. Now, follow me on this one. He wanted to maintain German nationalism. And the thing they were promoting was that Germans were smarter than anybody else. And the way that we're going to progress in this world is to get rid of the dummies. So if we can find a dummy, we'll kill him. And the way you can tell a dummy is he got blue eyes and blonde hair. Excuse me, those are smart people. What you can tell a dummy is he got dark eyes and black hair, and that'd be a Jew. The Jews, can you imagine anybody calling a Jew dumb? Now, that's the height of arrogance when somebody thinks a Jew is dumb. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, I've got a close friend who's Jewish, and really, she's just a little bit off plumb. And I said, well, obviously, there's just been too many Gentiles in her woodpile. That's the problem right there. The Jews have been given the intelligence. I mean, people have talents and abilities within the gene pool. Some people can do things because of their gene pool. Well, what is it about the Jews? What's in their gene pool? Lots of good functional neurons. These people are brilliant. The Germans got arrogant, thought they were smarter than Jews. Maybe they figured it out as they went along that, hey, these dudes are smarter than we are. And if we're going to be the smartest, we're going to have to kill them. They lined them up and killed them, fried them, cooked them, gassed them. 6 million. That's not all. About 4 to 5 million Christians they got rid of. We don't hear much about that, and we don't have a place you can go to and take a look at all of the memorabilia. Well, here's the deal. Nationalism can be an evil. When you think that your country and the people who run it, regardless of what they do, are right, and you will support any idea that comes across the table. That's the nationalism of Germany. Now, today, there is a confusion afoot between nationalism and patriotism. Look, I love this country. I even love the northeastern part of the country. I've been to California, and they're crazy, but I like California. I mean, they know how to drive out there. I love the South. I still believe the war is not over. I don't understand the North, especially this time of year. Why do people live there? Nevertheless, it's their freedom to live wherever they wish across the fruited plain. And I am fond of my country. I love my country. While at the same time, I think those who are running the country are not good people. See, I restrained myself. I didn't use any vicious adjectives that I wanted to. And how long has this been going on? It's not the current administration which gives me chills up my spine. It goes back all the way to the 19th century. The 20th century was a sinkhole for leadership in this country, with a few wonderful exceptions. Over a century of horrible leadership, which shows you the power of a free people to survive bad leadership. Nothing new under the sun. The Romans did it for 1,000 years, and they had some horrible people running the show. And Paul, when he said, pray for the king, guess who the king was? And Paul wrote that line. It was Nero. And when Jesus Christ said, who is this on this coin right here? They said, well, it's Caesar. He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Well, who was the Caesar? The Caesar was Tiberius. Now, you talk about a really bad guy. He looked like he had been beat in the face with a track shoe. He lived on an island, Capri, because he didn't want to be around people because he was so embarrassed about how hideous he was. He was mean, he was ugly, he was devious, he was cruel. He was a horror. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Pray for the king. Honor the king. Our leader is not of this world. Our leader is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who supersedes all earthly authorities. If you get into his administration, you will find out that you're protected beyond all your wildest imaginations. You can survive anything because your leader, your king, your Lord, your Savior is in charge. And you are his follower and you are his sheep. And he will protect you and he will lead you, but he must do it with his word. And that's why we're here. Nationalism can be evil. Patriotism is not. The new propaganda is designed to destroy American nationalism, to blur borders, if not remove them. The major sources of this cosmic assault are mainline media now orchestrating a quick march to socialism. Socialism will destroy our country. It has destroyed every country wherever it has been tried. The biblical system of economics is capitalism. You see it in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal indicates somebody owns something and another who doesn't wants it and decides to take it. Do not covet that belongs to your neighbor indicates they have possessions that are privately theirs, that others are to leave alone. All of these strategies and tactics are presumptively from blood and flesh, but they are only the conduits. These people are conduits, messengers, emissaries. The source of their philosophies, ideologies, and worldview are Lucifer and his demonic officer corps. And they have found a way to intrude into the thoughts of men and to do so with great success. And there's nothing new about it. It began in Eden. It began in Eden when that woman had been told to leave the fruit of that tree alone. Don't you dare eat that, darling. It will end this entire wonderful environment that you have here. And then Lucifer said, did God really say the very first assault that Lucifer fired at the human race was an attack on the Word of God? Did God really say? And she said, well, maybe he didn't really mean that. I think I will eat of it. I wonder if she needed Pepto-Bismol after that meal. Maalox. Therefore, to emphasize the true source of cosmic didactics, Paul provides the identities of those in the demonic table of organization. And he uses the structure of the Athenian military to define the ranks in Satan's armies. Now, this is a good place to stop for our tea and crumpets.